I'd like to read a few verses from the Gospel according to John, beginning in chapter 1, verse 35. John 1, verse 35. Again on the morrow, there stood John and two of his disciples, looking at Jesus as he walked. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speaking and followed Jesus. Jesus, having turned and seeing them following, says to them, "What seek ye?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which being interpreted signifies teacher, "where abidest thou?" And he says to them, "Come and see." They went therefore and saw where he abode, and they abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard this from John and followed him. He first finds his own brother, Simon, and says to him, "We have found the Messiah," which being interpreted is Christ. And he led him to Jesus. Jesus, looking at him, said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which interpreted is stone. On the morrow he would go forth into Galilee. And Jesus finds Philip and says to him, "Follow me." Chapter 6, verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went away back and walked no more with him. Jesus therefore said to the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of life eternal, and we have believed and known that thou art the Holy One of God." Chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came out from God and was going to God, rises from supper and lays aside his garments. Having taken a linen towel, he girded himself. Then he pours water into the washhand basin, began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with a linen towel with which he was girded. He comes therefore to Simon Peter, and he says to him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do thou dost not know now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And Peter says to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash thee, thou hast not part with me." And chapter 19, verse 25. And by the cross of Jesus stood his mother, the sister of his mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary of Magdala. Then chapter 21, verse 20. Peter, turning round, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned at supper on his breast and said, "Lord, who is it that delivers thee up?" Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, "Lord, what of this man?" Jesus says to him, "If I will that he abide until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." I can, the Lord might help me to continue to be occupied with the Lamb of God. Wonderful thing that was no afterthought with God to bring in the Lamb. It's God's original thought. God is never overtaken by things that happen down here. God has his own thoughts formed in eternity which are going through, despite the public appearance of things. If we look at the end of Revelation, we'll see that all that God planned, he's carried through, he's going to bring into display. This great thought of the Lamb, foreknown before the foundation of the world, John presents this blessed person here on earth, presents him as the Lamb of God. There is a company in Revelation whom it said that they followed the Lamb whithersoever it went. We might feel we're in difficult days today. It's not easy to pursue the Christian path and to follow the Lord. But that company come out of a far more difficult time than ever we will know of. They come out of the time of the beast, when the beast is putting his mark on everyone, and everyone is doing homage to the beast. Then the Spirit of God shows us that there are 144,000 have not been defiled. They're virgins, they're pure, they're uncorrupted, never turn to the beast. It says they follow the Lamb whithersoever it goes. I want to occupy us a little with the thought of following the Lamb. I trust we're all believers here today. I hope if there's anyone who isn't a believer, it's a wonderful thing to be able to point you today to the one who is the sacrifice for your sins. There's no other remedy for sin than the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. No other remedy for your sins. Maybe there's only a few, but there's no other remedy. Christ had to suffer and die and shed his precious blood that you might be redeemed to God. Then as believers, I suggest this thought of following is additional. And I challenge my own heart as to whether, although a believer, whether I know what it is to really follow the Lamb. Really, it's a character of the present time because it's a time of reproach. The Lamb speaks of suffering and sacrifice and reproach. And that's the day we're in. Though there are those who would make Christianity appear popular, the real thing is never popular, never has been, because the one who is the centre of it was rejected of men, despised and left alone of men. To follow Christ means that there's a new centre in my life. It means that I've turned away from self and selfish pursuit to come under the control of Christ. It means everything's different. You sometimes see a sign under new management. That's really what it means. That I cease to control my own path, my own life, my own circumstances, and they're controlled by the blessed Lord Jesus. Remember that Amalekite that David found. He said, I'm the servant of an Amalekite. Like most of us, we know what it is to serve sin, to serve the flesh. We know where it ends. He said, my master left me. And that's where it does end. But David took him on, and he became a servant for David. Wonderful thing to come under a new master. Appeal to any of us here today who don't know really what it is to let the Lord Jesus take control of our life, we might come under him today. It affects everything. I don't say it lightly because I feel challenged in my own heart. It means that everything in my life's affected if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. Peter said somewhere else, we've left all things and have followed thee. Everything. I'm not sure, I'll be honest, I don't know that I could say I've left all things. I feel how the need of that challenge in my own heart and life. Has everything come under the control of Jesus? Does he control? Does he direct my life? That is, I believe, the urgent need of the moment. The tendency is always to settle down. Save for glory, wonderful though that is, save for glory, yes for glory, by the work of God's blessed Son. But we want to know what it is to be saved down here, saved from this present evil world, saved in the power of Christ's life, that the one who died and saved us from the wrath to come is a living Saviour and would save us even now in the power of his risen life. What a Saviour we have. I just want to speak briefly of these scriptures, that we might learn a little in them the features of followers of the Lamb. John the Baptist was a remarkable man. He speaks of himself as a voice. A voice. It always interested me that they say of John the Baptist, he did no sign. He did no sign. He didn't open the eyes of the blind. He didn't cleanse any lepers. He didn't cast out any demons. He didn't raise any dead. He did no sign. What do they say about him? But all things he said of this man were true. Just a voice. I'd love to be that today, dear friend, among you here. I'd love to be a voice that would attract to Christ and leave with Christ. Because that's what John did. His eyes were fixed. They weren't on the world. The world caters for the eyes, the lust of the eyes. It's literature, it's television. It caters for that, but that wasn't the way John's eyes were focused. It says, looking at Jesus, looking at Jesus. Beloved friend and believer, have you got Jesus in your view? Someone wrote those words, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth. Things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, it may not even be worldly things, sinful things, but you know, the things of earth, the things that hold us down here and stop us from following the Lamb where he's leading. The Lord in this gospel is presented in movement, where he would lead us, looking at Jesus as he walked. Think of the glory of the walk of Jesus. Think of the dignity of it. It says in the Song of Songs, his bearing is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. Think of how Jesus walked through this world. Standing out unique among men, there never was a walk like it. Undeviating, absolutely true. In John 19, where we read from at the beginning of that chapter, even as to the crucifixion, it says he went forth. He went forth bearing his cross. Think of the dignity of one who went out of that city of Jerusalem bearing his cross. There's no sense of weakness in John. It's the dignity and glory of his holy movements. He went out forth bearing his cross. Looking at Jesus as he walked. As we said, the Lamb speaks of sacrifice. And you know, to follow the Lamb, it means sacrifice. I don't compare it with what Jesus sacrificed. He gave his all. He gave everything. We sing, thou gavest all that love could give, the goodly pearl to gain. Thou gavest thy life that we might live, and thou thy bride obtain. Yet to follow in his steps, it means sacrifice. Who of us knows what it is to sacrifice? How we like to cling to things, you know, material things, even our time for ourselves, for our own selfish interests. It means sacrifice to follow the Lamb. It's a sacrificial walk. I think it's in Matthew, in one of the other Gospels. He speaks about, the Lord turns and says to those who are following, you know, he says, you better sit down and count the cost. Count the cost. Brethren, do we want an easy path, an easy kind of Christianity? Or do we want to be real? This is life. Following is life, it's movement. Means going where he goes. He'll show the way forward. How we'd love to know in a more clear way the way the Lord would lead us. He would lead us. He's going on before. I think it says in one of the Gospels, Jesus going on before. We sing, the Lord has himself gone before. He has marked out the path that we tread. As sure as the love we adore, we have nothing to fear nor to dread. If the way involves reproach, if it involves sacrifice, we have nothing to fear nor to dread. The one who's gone before is able to sustain us in that pathway in living attachment to himself, right home to glory. Looking at Jesus as he walked, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Five words. Paul speaks of five words in the Spirit. Five words, "Behold the Lamb of God." And what John said caused movement with those two disciples. It caused them to follow. Would to God there might be words said today that might produce movement in our lives to follow the Lamb. It says they heard him speaking and followed Jesus. They've now got the same blessed person in their sight. Their eyes are fixed on Jesus. In Hebrews we're told to look off unto Jesus, the leader and completer of faith. Jesus turned and seeing them following, says to them, "What seek ye?" There's a challenge. It wasn't to put them off. It was to bring out what was in their hearts. It was to bring out their motives. Why are we in the pathway? What are we seeking in it? What is our objective? Perhaps it's family links or business links. Or is it Jesus? Is it the Lord? They say, "Where abidest thou?" What was their real desire came out in response to the Lord's challenge. "Where abidest thou?" He says, "Come and see." You know, that's the way things are presented in John. In all the attractiveness of his person. Come and see. They're attracted to the Lamb. To follow him and to go where he leads. Are we content with a shallow kind of Christianity? Or do we want to go in for deeper things? "Where abidest thou?" There's no house mentioned or street or any geographical position. The Lord would lead us to where it's home to him. Where is home to Jesus? Where did he come from? He came from heaven. He came forth from with the Father. He's the only begotten Son who dwells in the bosom of the Father. Where would he lead us? He'd lead us into that inner circle. Before there's any question of service, following leads inward into that wonderful sphere of divine affections. It says they abode with him. Think of living with Jesus. Thinking of spending a day with Jesus. That's what it is to be a follower. We're going in his steps. We're walking in his company. "Come and see." They went therefore and saw where he abode. And they abode with him that day. Then we have Andrew. He was one of the two who had heard this from John and followed him. And he first finds his own brother, Simon. Andrew's not mentioned much in Scripture, but wherever he's mentioned as making way for others. Perhaps he learnt that from John the Baptist. Think of the self-effacing character of John the Baptist. A burning and shining light. The Lord says of him, but what does John say? He must increase. He must increase. I must decrease. You see it working out in Andrew's life. You see him in chapter 6. He's bringing a little boy forward. He's got the five loaves and the fishes. Making way for someone else. Chapter 12, he's with Philip. He's speaking to the Lord about the Greeks. Here he's thinking of his own brother. You know, this unselfishness is the result of following Christ and being in his presence. We don't learn selfishness in the presence of Christ. We learn unselfishness. We see in him a love that gave its all, that sacrificed everything. And Andrew expresses it. He's evangelical, if you like. He first finds his own brother. His first thought is he wants someone else to know this blessed person and come into the pathway. Have we really begun to follow? Are we all in this? Are we true followers of Christ? He brings him. He led him to Jesus. It's interesting that in this setting, Peter's beginning was being led. Peter wasn't naturally inclined to be led. In fact, the Lord had to say to him at the end of John, "When you're old, another will gird thee and bring thee where thou dost not desire." But I thought it was interesting that at Peter's beginning, he's led to Jesus. And the Lord looks at him. The Lord looks right into him and sees the potential that's there in Simon Peter. Whatever would come out in his failings, right there in his beginnings, the Lord looks into his soul. He says, "Thou shalt be called Cephas," which interpreted is stone. What did the Lord mean by that? Do you think Peter understood? Don't suppose he did for a minute. But I think he came to understand. When you read his epistle, he shows you that he understood. He says, "Yourselves also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God." You see, the Lord looked there at Peter as potential for that spiritual house. Now there's another feature of a follower of the Lamb, follower of Jesus, material for the spiritual house. A holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. Then a kingly priesthood to set forth the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. There's the balance of the truth. A holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. A kingly priesthood to set forth in this dark world the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness to his wonderful light. Are we followers of Jesus? I challenge my own heart. The Lord goes on then, says he finds Philip and says to him, "Follow me." Simple call. The other disciples, Andrew, the other one, weren't called. They were attracted to his blessed person by what John the Baptist said. But then there's the call here. The thought of the call. Follow me. Have you heard the call? Abram was called in the Old Testament. God called Abraham. It was a landmark in his history. It began a spiritual history with God, leading to the unfolding of wonderful things that he didn't actually enter into, but which he embraced in his affections, right onto the city of which God was the artificer and builder. The call. Have you got a point in your life where the Lord has called you? We need it. It'll stop us from being aimless and without an objective. The call of Jesus. Follow me. That's enough. It's enough for Philip. Just follow me. When we come to chapter 6, what marks Peter there as a follower is his value of the Lord's person, his value of his words. Other disciples were going away. There was a word the Lord had spoken and it was too hard for them. You see, that's where the sacrifice, that's where the test comes in. Are we prepared to go the whole way with Jesus? Very solemn that it says they walked no more with him. Think of what was open to them. We can assume from what the word says that they'd walked with him up to that point. They walked no more with him. Oh, brethren, we need to value the Lord's words. Let us not shrink from them. The Lord meant what he said. And Peter says, "Thou hast words of life eternal." Think of what a sphere of things opens up to everyone that's prepared for the challenge of the Lord's word. Think of what they missed even as this gospel presents it. Think of the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus in this gospel. Think of the great opening up of things. And later in this gospel, as he speaks about the Father, as he speaks about the Father's house, as he speaks about the glory that he has with him up there. Think of what words they missed, words of life eternal. These are what followers come in for. Those who continue with the Lord, they came into all the blessedness of the words of Jesus, the opening up of his heart in relation to his Father and that realm above. Peter says, those words of life eternal. Oh, what a blessedness, blessed thing it is to walk with him. Walk with him. It's one of the promise to one of the overcomers in one of the churches in Revelation. The Lord says they shall walk with me in white. What a blessing that is. Walk with me in white. Answer to faithfulness down here. Persons who have not defiled their garments. People who kept themselves for Christ. The Lord says they'll walk with me in white, for they're worthy. Oh, brethren, let us go on with the Lord. Let him have control in our lives. Let us value his words, not modify them or bypass them, but let them have full place in our hearts. The Lord's words. Peter cleaves to the Lord. To whom shalt thou go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast words of life eternal. Oh, that we may cleave to Christ and follow in his steps. I read in chapter 13 wonderful movements of the Lord presented to us in this chapter. Came out from God, was going back to God. What wonderful movements are compassed in that. And then it says, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, he came out from God and was going to God, rises from supper and lays aside his garments. I think of the lowly service of the Lord Jesus. I think of this setting, you know. You think of the Passover. You think of Jesus sending Peter and John. And they were to go and prepare. And no doubt they provided the water and the basin and the towel and all the furnishings. Had anyone thought who was going to do the service? Had any one of them considered who was going to wash the feet when they came together? I don't think so. I think it's Luke and his gospel shows that lowliness was far from their minds in that occasion. It's immediately following that they were reasoning who should be the greatest. Oh, the awfulness of this leaven. The leaven, that this self-importance, self-confidence. And what happens? Truly the one who was the greatest rose. It says, he rises from supper. What an example. This is an example for followers. It's something for those who are following to take up. The Lord says, I'm giving you an example. Lays aside his garments. Think of the lowliness of Jesus. Truly was the greatest. Think of it, the maker of the worlds. Rising from supper. And taking on the service that a household slave would have done. Think of him going round each of them. Thoughts of the greatest. The blessed Lord Jesus. He who came out from God. And was going back to God. And think of him on the way. Think of him coming round. Those hands. The Father had given all things into his hands. Think of him coming. Taking hold of the feet of one disciple. Washing them. And then the feet of another. Think of those blessed hands. Everything given into them. All for God's pleasure. As Isaiah says. All shall prosper in his hands. Pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. And yet think of the lowly grace as he would stoop to wash the feet of the disciples. I say, what an example. May we never, dear brethren, serve in any other spirit than the spirit of the Master. Let us not talk down, but let us value, look up to the saints of God. Those whom we're serving, let us value them even as Christ did. Think of the blessed Lord, down at the feet of Simon Peter, one who'd followed him this far. Think of this conversation as the Lord was at his feet. And the Lord says, unless I wash thee, thou hast not part with me. Think of all that was to be opened up to Peter. And the Lord wanted him carried along in this movement of life to enjoy what part with him before the Father really was. What an example. He ought to wash. He also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that as I have done to you, ye should do also. May we know what that is as followers of the Lamb. To serve one another. We need this service. Let none of us pretend, from the greatest to the least, let none of us pretend we don't need this service. We're going through a defiling world. We need to serve one another. This is what the Lord said. To bring the word, it's water. It wasn't, speaking reverently, it wasn't a scrubbing brush. It wasn't anything harsh. It's the water. It's the word. The water of the word. Bring the word of God. Not in a harsh way, but in a gracious way. In order that a brother or a sister, old believer or a young believer, may be liberated, may be set free in relation to enjoying what part with Christ really means. We've spoken in John 19 of the Lord going forth, bearing his cross. I just read of those women who stood by the cross. It says of some of the women, you know, that they followed him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They've gone all the way. You know, often we see in the Gospels the responsible element in the disciples marked by great weakness and failure. But the women, they shine so often. They're at his feet, they anoint his feet. They follow him all the way, ministering to him of their substance. They go right through from Galilee to the cross. Are we prepared to go the whole way? Think of what it meant to stand by the cross of Jesus when the whole world was arrayed against it. Think of the Lord's feelings in Psalm 22 as he speaks about the lions and Bashan's strong ones surrounding him. And yet, in faithfulness, these women who had followed him stood by the cross. Natural hopes for Mary, his mother, finished. Earthly hopes, Mary, the wife of Clopas, earthly hopes, gone. Worldly hopes, finished. The cross severs them all. What opens up to us when we come to chapter 21? It's a blessed man in resurrection. Not now natural links, but heavenly and eternal links. And my brethren, he says in chapter 20, that's the answer to the severance of natural links at the cross. Earthly hopes. The Lord is pointing them to another scene. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The end of the world for Mary of Magdala. Why, then another world was opened up. And the Lord is serving his own. He's serving Peter. He'd been marked by self-confidence. But he could go the whole way, and he failed. The Lord, in wondrous grace, serves him, probes his heart. Lovest thou me? That's the secret. Love is really the secret. But not my own assertion of my love. what the Lord really brings him to is to an end of his own confidence and to rely wholly upon the Lord. That's what he's brought to. Peter truly loved the Lord, but there hadn't been the evidence in his life. I say that to myself as to all of us. Is there really the day-by-day evidence that we love the Lord? Something he can see. Peter says in the end, well, it wasn't evident, but Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I'm attached to thee. And then this final word, as John looks round, as Peter looks round on John, the Lord says to him, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. As if the only thing that mattered was that he should follow the Lord. We know he did. We know Peter went on and faithfully followed the Lord. He went the suffering way. He went in the footsteps of the Lamb of God. He went the whole way, even to martyrdom. The word to him was that, as it is to us today, follow thou me. May that be seen practically, dear brethren, in all our lives, for his name's sake. Amen.